I love having Chris Carter from the Post-Gazette on Fridays because he covers Pitt, he covers the Steelers, so we get all the football opinions from him on Fridays. And today, in fact, we'll go behind enemy lines with him and find out a little bit more about SMU. Behind Enemy Lines brought to you by Monster Brewing, and he joins us on the Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Chris, always good to see your face, buddy. How you doing today?
Same here, Crowd Man. How you doing?
Oh, I am outstanding. Two massive college football games tomorrow. The Steelers are off, which means that the college football games get center stage here, at least for a little bit on the show. And I'm wondering, Chris, after the Holstein announcement from Pat Narduzzi on 93.7 The Fan the other day, I thought the line would move. I'm still perplexed by Pitt being a 7.5-point underdog. Can you help me understand the why behind that?
You know, I can only think that part of it is if you look at SMU's overall offensive production and defensive production, they rank like just ahead of Pitt in some areas, just behind Pitt and others, and you think, oh, well, this just matchup will just work in their favor. Or maybe you're just thinking SMU's home advantage is just that much greater. But to be honest, looking at the way that SMU plays, the way they try to play defense, not the way they call their plays, but the style of play, how fast they play, it's very similar to Pitt. That, you know, they want to play fast. They want to simplify their coverages. They want to just blitz you and make you rush out of your scheme. And so, you know, I look at that and I say, okay, well, whose defense do I give more credit for playing the way? And I think Pitt's defense is more dangerous with the way that they create turnovers, and especially with the way that SMU's quarterback was giving turnovers last week. And Eli Holstein hasn't been completely clean. I think he's had two rough games, even if the stats won't say it in the last game. And that could be a factor. But I have to think maybe there's something Vegas knows about Holstein and his SMU defense that's going to have him have another rough day. But, you know, I think that these are rather evenly matched teams in a lot of ways. And this should be a game that maybe it's more like a 3-point spread than a 7.1.
That's what I thought, too. I was stunned when I saw it was SMU -7.5. And you wondered about the Holstein stuff. And then you find out he's fine. He's going to play. And it's still 7.5. I'm wondering if part of it, you bring up the turnovers. So Pitt, they take the ball away from McCord 5 times, 3 of which return for touchdowns. And you can't count on that every week. Right. And I'm wondering if SMU, while it's a negative when you turn it over, 6 times, you can also spin it positive that you're good enough to go on the road, turn it over 6 times, and still find a way miraculously to win the football game.
Yeah, that's certainly part of it, right? Is that, you know, it's funny. I asked Pat Narduzzi about how they try to generate turnovers. And he said, well, we don't plan getting 5. We just try to read our keys and set up opportunities and let the guys go play. And I think that's the thing that's really impressive about this defense. This was a defense that you look at guys, the 3 starting linebackers, Brandon George, Rasheem Biles, Kyle Lewis, all 3 of those guys have had phenomenal seasons. And those were 3 guys that, you know, weren't getting on the field much last year. They were guys that people were like, ah, well, they're not that big of a factor. And now they absolutely are. And they're generating all these looks here. And on Pitt's defensive front, you got Sean Fitzsimmons coming in and Nick James on the defensive line, Nekai Johnson playing very well, Nate Matlack teaming up with Jimmy Scott. They have guys up front now that are difference makers. And it took some time for those guys to emerge and figure themselves out and figure how they work together. But that's the kind of stuff that I think might neutralize and create these turnover opportunities is with them winning up front. One factor that I think that people might be counting on is SMU does have a very good running back in Breshard Smith. He's a speedster. He's quick in space. He makes you miss, especially when he gets to that second level. Good luck to, you know, defenders in open space. But Pitt has been very good about limiting running backs to even getting there. They try to bottle you up. If you get yards, you're getting them up the middle and you're kind of in a condensed space where, hey, you might have got 6 or 7, but a safety's bringing you down, and then they're going to adjust and try to take away that the next play. SMU's been very good at that balance attack with Smith and their quarterback Jennings, and they've been able to work with that. Pitt has to focus to take away that run game, force Jennings to be one-dimensional, and that would go a long way to them winning, creating those turnovers, because that's exactly what they did to Syracuse. Syracuse, not a good running football team last week. And I said going in, if they, you know, I was talking with Stephen Thompson in our pregame clip. We talked about, hey, if they take away the run, they can focus more on Kyle McCord. And boy, did they take away the run, and did they focus on Kyle McCord.
I watched your little clip there. It's very well produced, Mr. Carter. Very good stuff. Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Chris Carter, of course, from the Post-Gazette, joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. You mentioned Eli Holstein's struggles. Could have had an interception on that first drive against Syracuse. Did throw an interception, gets taken back because of the roughing the passer. Apart, you say apart from that, it's tough to get into a rhythm offensively when you're only on the field for 18 minutes because of all those turnovers. So I think that's part of it, yeah, against Syracuse, too. Did throw that 29-yard touchdown that was a beaut late in the game. But overall, the last eight quarters for Holstein, not what the first five games had been. What do they need him to get back to doing? And do you think he can get there in specifically in this game?
I think he can, particularly because it's kind of getting back to the basics. I think one thing Eli Holstein has done too much of in these games, he's been looking, I even noted it like live during some of the SMU plays, he would be looking downfield. He's looking for the home run ball. He's looking for the big play. And sometimes it's like, hey, man, don't look for the big play. Take what is there. Read your keys on defense. Don't be worrying about where you go. Just worry about, hey, this is what they're doing. I'm going to have one first read, second read, third read, run. Like, you know, that's what you're doing here. Because if they're taking away your third read, most likely they're not also watching you. And Eli Holstein has shown his ability to run. And I think that he's gotten a little caught up in looking for the big plays that have set things up. And if I'm Cade Bell, the Pitt offensive coordinator, I'm looking at Eli and saying, hey, Eli, what got you three touchdowns, passing touchdowns in five straight games was sticking to my system and going through those reads and making those plays. And even in games like against Cincinnati, where he struggled in the first half and then he improved in the second, it was because he started taking the reads that were there. If he can get back to doing that, he can get back to maybe averaging three touchdown passes a game like he did literally through five games each. But I agree with you. He hasn't been his best, but again, he's a redshirt freshman. He gets time to grow, and there's no better way to grow than to be undefeated through seven games.
Exactly.
But right, so like, you know, it's not like oh man, Eli Holstein's bad, but I do think it's a point where, hey, Eli, you have this opportunity to go back and fix some things so that you can still have a very strong season while you haven't lost a game. There's a unique opportunity here for Eli Holstein. I'm very intrigued to see if he takes it in SMU on Saturday night.
I have a Steelers question for you. Hopefully we have enough time to get to it. But before we do, I said this a couple segments ago, and I got a fair amount of pushback. I think the SMU Pitt game is way more important than the Ohio State-Penn State game. Like, I'm a cynic. We're going to see how it all works out in the college football playoff, but you're going to get your champions in. Then they're going to have to find seven other teams to put in this thing. I think if Penn State loses, because it's damn Penn State, they're going to get in. I think Ohio State, with two losses and a presumed victory over a good Indiana team, I think they get in. Meanwhile, I think Pitt probably needs to win the ACC. I think SMU probably needs to win the ACC to get in. Thoughts?
I mean, That's very good logic there, Crowman. I hadn't thought about that.
Let's go. Finally. Mom, I've done it.
But silly. But in all seriousness, Adam, like, looking at this, I think you're right. Like, if Penn State or Ohio State lose that game, they're still very much in the college football playoff picture. We'll get to see Tuesday night what the actual college football playoff rankings are, right? Because the AP poll, the coaches poll, those aren't carrying the weight anymore that they used to. However, I do look at this, and you know, I think Trey Tipton, former Pitt receiver, pointed this out. This Pitt team is tied for the lowest AP ranking of a 7-0 Power 5 team in the AP poll history. So like, Pitt's in a unique position where it's shown, and it's funny. You know, I think it's the ACC has shown this. It don't matter if you go undefeated and win the conference right, all season long. That don't guarantee you a top four spot in the playoffs. Now, this year, the structure of the playoffs is different, but that should show Pitt. If they win out and then lose to Miami at the end of the season, I'm not sure if I even guarantee them in the playoffs there. I would think I would put them in the playoffs, but would the College Football Playoff Committee? I don't know.
I do think
of how the ACC has been treated.
I'm happy you bring that up. I do think that is Pitt's best chance if they are a one-loss team, is if they play in a conference championship game and then lose to Miami. Yeah.
I agree. But sorry.
By the by, Tuesday would be election day. Also, the first college football playoff rankings. And the NFL trade deadline.
NFL trade deadline.
It is going to be a hellscape on X.com. It is going to be wild times. All right, last thing here for you, Chris. Before the season, I think reasonable people could look at all the quarterbacks in the AFC and go, Russell Wilson might be the 10th best quarterback. Well, we did the exercise earlier. I think right now he's 5th or 6th. Agree? And it's only been two games, so you have to do some extrapolating. Yeah, but I think he's in a tier above, based on the way some other guys have played, based on the way he's played, than where I thought he would be coming into the year.
You know, I think it's fair to say, hey, have people overlooked him early on? Because, you know, I think that when you look at how he's played in two games, it's been impressive. And it's fair to say, hey, you know, would he do that if that? But I mean, you look at what he's bringing to the Steelers offense, the efficiency he's bringing. He's not being Lamar Jackson. He's not being Superman carrying an offense. He's not being Josh Allen like that. And no one's putting him in that category. But as far as the guys who are being the balanced caretakers of the offense that distribute the football, he's one of the best at doing that. Like, look at Jared Goff for the Lions. Jared Goff isn't being Superman. He's being a great decision maker, and he's letting the powers of the Lions offense do the work. And I think that's what Mike Tomlin wanted to see if Russell Wilson could do when he got to Pittsburgh. And right now, if you looked at all quarterbacks in the NFL with at least 50 dropbacks on the season, Russell Wilson has the second highest yards per attempt average on passing the football. That's efficiency. So I think fifth or sixth is fair because it accounts for the Allens, the Mahomeses, the Burrows, and those guys in the AFC. But like right after them, like, sure, you take them. And I think where if you're the Steelers, if you're comfortable, you're excited about is because all those other teams, they're investing in quarterback. Lamar, Allen, Burrow, Mahomes, they all got money. Russell's $1 million. And you have a chance with this young offense around him, with the run game getting better. You saw how it got better in the second half of the season last year. Let's see if it gets better this year. But it's already been better this year. You look at young receivers like Calvin Austin, him making plays both in special teams and in the receiving game and connecting more with Russell Wilson. That's a big factor. And this defense that has, yes, older players, but younger players who are getting better and the new free agents who are fitting in. I think the Steelers are much more dangerous in this AFC playoff outlook going into the second half of the season than people thought they would be at the start of the season, particularly because of how they've meshed together well in defense. They're figuring things out with an injured offensive line. And now Russell Wilson is being a good leader who pieces it all together, makes it not about himself, and makes it about, hey, let's do this. Let's use the sums of our parts to beat teams on offense.
Man, we spent the whole first hour or so of the show talking about the Steelers relative to all the other playoff teams in the AFC. And I don't know that people around here think of it this way. Yeah, the Steelers are flawed, no doubt. So are all these other teams. I mean, you put the Chiefs in a category of their own. I'm going to give them benefit of the doubt because they don't need to have a spectacular statistical season for me to say, okay, they're the favorite in the AFC. I don't think anybody looks at it that way. But among everyone else, I think the Steelers are just as good, maybe, as anybody else. Chris, this was awesome, man. We appreciate your time, as always. Are you headed out to Dallas?
No, that's going to be Stephen Thompson. Our guy's going to be headed to Dallas. I'm staying in Pittsburgh to kind of catch my breath during the Steelers bye week. But, of course, we'll be at the Peterson Event Center for Pitt Basketball's opening night. All preview stuff on the season will be coming out throughout this weekend. Great stuff there at the Post-Gazette. Check us out at post-gazette.com.
That's right. In 2 weeks from today, the Backyard Basket Brawl. So how about that?
Let's go.
All right, Chris. Awesome stuff, man. Take care now. Thanks again.
Thanks, Growl, man.
One of the best. One of the most hardworking guys in the industry, Chris Carter of the Post-Gazette.